World Roots was introduced by Marianne Kennedy and the producer was Roger Short. Well, next week in World Roots, Lucy Duran will be reviewing new albums of world music, and there'll also be a session with the Mexican guitar duo Rodrigo y Gabriela. That's World Roots next Sunday evening at the same time, 10 o'clock. Jazz lineup in just a moment or two, and after it, Through the Night sets off with the recent Mozart concert from Romania, his Serenata Notturna, and last symphony, the Jupiter Symphony, Symphony No. 41. That's Through the Night at 12:30 tonight. As for Tuesday night...
For Radio 3, live in concert, an all-Russian programme, live from London's Barbican Hall. From one of the greatest love themes of all time... to the gripping symphonic writing of Shostakovich's Fifth. Radio 3 live in concert with Valery Gergiev and the London Symphony Orchestra. Tuesday night at 7:30 on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio, and you can also listen to us live online. It's a little after 11 o'clock and time now for Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
Hello, it's mystery voice time again. Who's this?
It's almost unteachable. You have to tell them that unless they can feel the rhythm and hear the changes, don't try to sing this music.
No prizes, I'm afraid. Far too easy. It's Mark Murphy, and I talked to him extensively at a very special question and answer session given recently. Also, our own Nikki Owls has a new album out, Made in New York, and she talks to us later. But first, the dynamic trio Phrenesis are releasing their fourth album, Walking Dark, in April. It's a highly anticipated follow-up to their third recording, Alive, which was voted Jazz Album of the Year by both Jazzwise and Mojo magazines back in 2010. Danish bass player Jasper Højby formed the trio back in 2005, and they are Ivo Neem on the piano, Anton Eger on drums, and Jasper on bass. Walking Dark, the title of the new release, is in reference to a series of concerts the trio played in total darkness as a dedication to Jasper Højby's sister, who is visually impaired. This is the track Democracy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Democracy, played by Phrenesis from their forthcoming album Walking Darkness. And that composition was written by Anton Eger, who was at the drums. Ivo Neame played the piano. And of course, Jesper Høiby was on the bass. And they are on tour throughout May, so look out for those dates in the listings. Legendary bassist Ron Carter's big band roots go deep. In 1960, well before his career-making time with Miles Davis, the then young bass player played with arranger-conductor Gil Evans on one of his all-time classic works, Out of the Cool. But now he's actually leading a big band for the very first time, with arrangements by long-term collaborator Robert Freeman, whose writing sounds fresh and original on songs that you perhaps wouldn't expect to appear on a big band recording. For instance, St. Louis Blues goes back as far as 1914. Well, let's hear something from Dizzy Gillespie, who Carter played with many times, and this is Con Alma.
Thank you.
That was Ron Carter's great big band playing Dizzy Gillespie's Con Alma. With rather a baroque brass beginning to that track and a wonderful bass solo by Carter, proving that he's really still very much the master musician he always was. Mulgrew Miller was at the piano and Lewis Nash played the drums, and that's out now on Sunnyside Records. Well, I'll be performing with the BBC Big Band on Friday the 27th of April at the Perth Concert Hall. The conductor will be Barry Forgy and I'll be duetting with alto saxophonist extraordinaire Nigel Hitchcock. It's going to be a great night and tickets are on sale now for the Friday the 27th of April at the Perth Concert Hall. For full details, go to our website via the BBC Radio 3 homepage. At the end of January, I was invited to host a unique event at the Morley College in London, organised by vocalist Jill Manley and the college, to give their music students a chance of a lifetime in meeting and hearing six times Grammy-nominated jazz singer Mark Murphy. You're going to hear edited highlights of that interview, and it wasn't just me that talked to Mark. There was also a panel of jazz luminaires, including Norma Winston, Ian Shaw, Tim Richards, Laura Zakian, Curtis Stigers and Pete Churchill. There was also a number of students in the hall, so you can hear Mark make certain suggestions, re-performance or tips on improvisation. Mark performed beautifully with former Shirley Horn pianist George Mesterhazy. Just before we hear him talk, let's remind ourselves of who we're talking about. From his album Lynx, this is Dave Frischberg's Wheelers and Dealers, perfect for this time of austerity.
All the dreamers ran out of dreams, and nothing feels the same. It's such a pity, it's such a shame. But the wheelers and dealers are hanging and tough, and keeping an eye on the action, walking and talking and moving that stuff, and feeling a fast satisfaction. Wheeling and dealing, and various large and small things, lying and stealing and lending the chips to fall. Ceiling and knowing the price of all things and the value of nothing at all. Sure, is little wonder we're insecure. Just open up your eyes. It's like the sweepstakes without a prize. But the wheelers and dealers are doing their thing and telling us everything's rosy. The Lord only knows what tomorrow may bring, and don't anybody get nosy. Wheeling and dealing in various large and small things, lying and stealing and letting the chips just fall. Signing and sealing and knowing the price of all things and the value of nothing at all. Thank you. Soon we'll all be zooming off to the moon, like pioneers will roam, to find some place up there and make a home. Oh, but the wheelers and dealers are getting there first and setting up shop in the craters to feed beyond hunger and drink beyond thirst. And those who oppose them are traitors, a wheeling and dealing in various large and small things. Lying, stealing, and letting the ships is fall. Signing and sealing and knowing the price of all things and the value of nothing at all. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Nothing at all.
Wheelers and Dealers from the album Lynx, sung by Mark Murphy. Well, I began by reminiscing about a photograph I saw of him at Ronnie Scott's with Ella Fitzgerald, and I asked him to tell me about his beginnings and his inspirations.
Maybe the first one was Nat Cole, probably, but then I became a Peggy Lee freak, and she taught me so much about not only how to phrase words and put the audience in the song. The music that she did never left me. And Shirley Horn was also, I think we were both derivative of Peggy Lee.
Did they really take you under their wing and help you? I mean, Sammy Davis was a massively lucky night when he
That confirmation, I must have been about 25 when he came into that club in Syracuse. And to have someone like that dig what you're doing, that very, it helps to qualify you to yourself, you know.
Before you started doing jazz, you were singing in your brother's band, but did you think you had, a good swing feel? Did you think you were naturally drawn to jazz and you had the ability to improvise at that early stage?
It didn't all come together at once. I would say I wasn't really a together finished singer until I was about 40.
Really?
Which is 40 years ago. And but by then I could sort of tell myself to do it, and I did it, you know. So not an easy form to learn, but I finally found out that I just, from my mother, got the rhythmic feeling, because she was a flapper when she was in the 20s, you know. And then my father's voice stayed with me, and it's very poignant to say that he was overjoyed with my first record, you know, and it was just in time, because then, I don't know, Claire, he discovered something from a doctor that I must have scared him to death. It's because he went out hunting with my younger brother when Kevin, my brother, was out of sight. He just blew his brains out. So it was quite a sudden exit. Poor Kevin never recovered from it. I felt my mother's hand on my shoulder once when I was exhausted in the hospital in Holland. And I have felt my father's hand on my other shoulder sometimes. A couple months ago, I was stranded in New York on a hot day, and was out with a pair of shorts. And then there was a freak 10 degree change of air, and there I was shivering, looking for a cab. A couple of cabs, the guy had to go back to New Jersey, you know. Finally, this fellow pulled up, and he had this look of Buddha on his face, right, already. And I got in the cab. I said, "Could you take me to New Jersey?" He said, "Of course I could." Nobody else wanted to. Now, that was just, I think it was my father's up there. I think he's watching me. Didn't want me to get in trouble.
But you said you didn't feel like you were a jazz singer until you were 40, but you did some amazing records, especially perhaps what's now become a classic, and it's just been re-released, was the album Raw with the great Bill Evans, Wynton Kelly, Clark Terry. And that year you were voted New Star of the Year in Downbeat's Reader's Poll. I mean, that must have been a fantastic time for you. I mean, did you know you were making such a brilliant record? How did it feel being around those guys?
Sometimes I think, why am I doing this, you know? Because I would try to sort of dip into the pop thing and all dismal successes. But actually, the first accidental little hit I had on the American charts was in a song called Fly Me to the Moon. When I first came to Europe, this pushy broad from, a pushy lady from Australia, conned me into, I must have had some money in those days because I got her an airplane ticket to Paris and then I went to following her to do ostensibly what she proposed was a musical score by
Michel Legrand.
And it turned out that she couldn't write at all. And she started, she could barely write her name, but then she started checking herself out of, she put on all her good dresses and put a coat over it and just leave the hotel. But there I was, stranded, and my friends in Holland helped me out to get some gigs. And when I got to London, I found that Fly Me to the Moon had done well in the charts there too. So I decided, well, I better stay here for a while.
Yeah.
9 years.
Okay. You were working as an actor as well when you were in London. Tell us about that. And what kind of roles were you playing?
Well, this guy came into a club, well, I think it was in Wimbledon. And I was up here and I looked down there and I saw he had the casting book out with the page open with my face on it. And I went up to him and I said, why do you have this book here, that's an acting book with my picture out on it? Said, because you have the face of Jesus Christ. We sat on it like a hen chicken and got the thing filmed in a place called Almeria in Spain with a wonderful castle and all that sort of thing. But that then we got shot down because a big, important British filmmaker started using with great names in the acting profession.
Well, before I go on with other questions, and eventually we'll start taking some questions from our celebrity panel, perhaps you'd be so kind as to sing a song for us now. Thank you.
Can
very
I introduce
much.
You to my
please do.
Accompanist, George Mesterházy?
Please do.
I need a whole chord. Cigarette holder, which wigs me over her shoulder. She digs me out, cat and dog, cat and dog. Baby, can we go out stepping? Careful, amigo. She's slipping and letting my satin down. She's nobody's fool, but she's playing it cool as can be. Do 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 oh oh. She's in a do but look at that go do. What's what the thank God for scat singing. Fiddle do 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 do. Sweet shiny stockings that she wore for me last night. You wore, cause I told you that I dug that crazy sight that you put them right on. And I pulled them right off. Then you put them back on. And we played all night with the shiny stockings. Then came along some. One with bright stockings too, I knew, cause you told me I dug that crazy you. Then you put them back on and I pulled them right off.
played all night, we played all night, we played all night, we played all night with a shiny soggy. That's all you have to do. And it's so good because when I forget the words, they don't know because I'm just scatter wada wada wada. Stop. I want to sing a ballad. This is also by Duke Ellington. It's always wonderful to start with Duke because you never, never are disappointed. Someone told someone, and someone told you, but they wouldn't hurt you, not much. And since everyone tells the story with his own little personal touch, do nothing till you hear from me. Pay no attention to what's said. Why people tear the seam of anyone's dream is over my head. Yeah, never do you hear from me. At least consider romance. If you should take the word of others you've heard, I ain't got a chance to have been seen with someone new. But does that mean I've been untrue the way I feel? The words in my heart reveal how I feel about you. Some kiss may cloud my memory, and other arms reach out to me. But please do nothing till you hear it from me. And you never will. So meet me at no particular place, and I'll be there at no particular
Mark Murphy singing, amongst other things, Do Nothing Till You Hear From Me, with George Mesterhazy at the piano, in a specially arranged question and answer session given by Mark Murphy at Morley College at the end of January and recorded by Jazz Lineup. I continue the conversation by asking him about the relationship he has with George Mesterhazy and how important it is to have synergy with your pianist. And I also asked him how they met up.
He's played for years for Shirley Horn, and now we are getting a wonderful rapport together, so it almost doesn't have to be rehearsed, you know. Mm.
Your latest album, I was reading the liner notes on the way here. You didn't rehearse at all. You walked into the studio with a list and no arrangements, no rehearsal, and made a record in a day.
Well, yes.
I mean, that was brave.
Sometimes you just had to do it.
Well, let's talk about the last few years, Mark, because obviously we all know you're soon going to be 80 in March. And I was listening to your CD in the car yesterday, and my daughter, who's nine, said, he's not 80. He must be taking special pills to make him sound young. So I said, I'll ask him if he's taking those pills. Let's talk about how you look after your voice now, then. I mean, how are you? Are you singing all the time to look after your voice?
No, and I'm going to try to sing more often and do some more records. My girlfriend in the United States, Nita Lobis, who got some money from a friend of mine to do this last album, Never Let Me Go, says she counted. I think I have 125 records out there since I started.
Perhaps we'll just get one of the questions. We've got celebrity panel here. We're going to start asking some questions from them before we ask you to sing another song. Then perhaps if anyone in the audience wants to ask Mark. So let's go ladies first and go to a bit of a national treasure, Grammy-nominated ECM recording artist and an all-round great, great woman. Very inspirational to all of us in the room. Norma Winston. Norma Winston is here.
Yeah!
Well, Mark, Claire just touched on one of the things I was going to ask you, which was about that you always, your voice always sounds in fantastic shape whenever I've heard you. And I wondered if it's partly a lucky thing that you have, you know, health-wise, you can keep in shape, or do you do anything in particular? For instance, if you're not singing, I know, you know, if you're not doing gigs.
What do I do?
I think that often it's very hard, and I never know whether it's best to rest. Sometimes rest is good for the voice, or then sometimes giving it some kind of punishment is good, and I just wonder what you thought about that.
Let's see, I have a very natural voice. I have the voice of my father. That was his gift to me, maybe for making such a hasty exit. But from 40 to 50, I started having trouble with vocal, and I would go into Ronnie Scott's, and by the third song, I'd be in trouble, you know. So I set up fans to blow the smoke back at them. Then I had all sorts of stuff, sprays and popping pills in my ears. So somehow I kept it going. But now, after after I stopped teaching, in I'd say the early 80s, my voice came back like gangbusters, and now I can go on. Well, I'm trying to reach 100.
Good for you. There was a second part to your question, which I was...
Yes, John Hendricks said you used to go and listen to him and Dave Lambert. But I wondered if, when you started, what... Was there any particular instrumentalist or singer that made you think that you could do this kind of thing, this improvisation with your voice?
I had a lovely auntie, my Aunt Mary, who took an interest in me, and I was about this high, and she taught me my first jazz chords and made it probably possible in my wee brain at times that I could sing like this. But It never sort of occurred to me that I should be a jazz singer, so I went to college and took a drama course. But while I was doing that, I was going downtown to listen and sing with singers down there, and a wonderful pianist, Bill Rubenstein, sort of really opened my ears up to the way he played bop on the piano. And, I don't know, do you know an album I made called Song for the Geese?
Yes.
Well, that's not bop. It's beyond bop. I do scat work in that, but it's not really derivative of the older tradition of bop. But
so was it sort of one particular instrumentalist? It's a mixture of all those things that at the beginning, but it's specifically your aunt who really Yeah. Because you had piano lessons when you were 7.
My dear aunt, she, and when she was failing, they'd wrap her up in blankets and bring her up to Syracuse to hear a concert I did. And my dear Nana, we called her Nana, called me the bathroom soprano. So I would get in the bathroom and sing all for hours. She couldn't shut me up. But finally, my voice changed and I had to sing.
Maybe I could just ask Laura Zakian now, another terrific singer and educator. Laura's going to ask you a question now, Mark.
My question is head or heart. So how effective do you think the current model of jazz teaching for singers, particularly kind of based on, you know, chord scale relationships, modes, yada, 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 compared to just listening to the greats, going to clubs, listening to your peers and emulating them?
It's almost unteachable. You have to tell them that unless they can feel the rhythm and hear the changes, don't try to sing this music. Because, well, okay, you can go into cabaret music, but don't call it jazz. Mm. Yeah.
So have you actually said that to students?
And yes, I have. Right to their faces.
Oh.
Who the hell told you could sing, right?
Do you think, Mark, you might perhaps give us another song just to break it up, and then we'll come back to the panel?
What shall I sing?
Anything. Anything will be fine.
I don't know a
song. I think we want another song. I know he's got a gig tonight, but come on, let's have another song.
I don't know a song called Anything. I'm going to sing a song. It was introduced by Nat King Cole. Again, this couldn't happen again. This is that once in a lifetime. This is the thrill. This moment forever, but never, never again.
Thank you.
I think he's just got to put a bit more emotion into it, really, don't you? You know, it'll be all right after that. Let's go to someone now. It's a real treat to have him here. He's on tour. He has a fantastic new album out called Let's Go Out Tonight, and I'm very proud to say that he's going to ask you a question. Here's Curtis Stigers.
Yeah.
Hello, Mark. Well, let me sort of preface it by saying that I met you when I was 19 years old, which was just a couple of years
ago. I was 19 once.
Yeah, I was just a couple of years ago for me. And actually, it was 1985, I believe, and I had discovered your records a couple of years before that and had just immersed myself in all things Mark Murphy. Mm. I just listened to you constantly. And where is the point when you stop listening to your mentors or your teachers? Where's the point?
You never stop.
Yeah?
You never stop because it's all happening. And now, you see, I'm a little worried because all the great people are loved as artists, they're all dead. Well, you just have to be constantly creative, you know? CC, constantly creative. What else can I tell you? But I think this music, you see, jazz depends on improvisation. And so you begin to learn to improvise your life in a way. And it'll all come together if it's supposed to, I think.
Let's have a question from a pianist now. Somebody who has been on the scene for many years, very important to the jazz scene, Tim Richards. Please welcome to Tim, and what's your question?
Thank you. Hi, Mark. I just realised I'm the only non-singer on the panel. How important do you think it is for a singer who wants to become a truly great jazz singer, how important do you think it is for them to know about music theory and harmony?
You have to be jazz. There's something in you. My mother used to say, Mark, dear, don't move around so much. And you say, Mama, I can't help it. I mean, I'm not a dancer. And my dancing days are finished. But once in a high school play, I had the first experience of making an audience laugh from something I said on the stage. And that zazazoo stayed with me, and I really, all my life, to you people who come to my music.
Let's go to a question now. I thought this was a brilliant question put forward by pianist, singer, educator, choir master as well. The wonderful Pete Churchill is here, and he's going to...
One of the many things that seem to set you apart from other jazz singers is the fact that you rarely seem to travel with your own band. You rack up in different cities and you have different musicians in different cities that you play with.
Well, this is a luxury for me because I have...
Yeah, you have...
My pianist.
You have the master with you, which is fantastic.
Mr. Hazzy.
Yeah, yeah. But what I was going to say is if jazz singers want to work this way rather than take their own band everywhere, what skills do they need to make the music happen every night? And what do they gain by working this way?
It whips you into shape.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to do it or you'll get fired, you know.
See, I've always had a very curious mind. And I would... Like, some now people say, you don't always sing the same. I know, I don't. You want to fight? and it really can never be the same, especially in jazz, because everyone, the whole, your audience affects you. Doesn't it, Ian? Your audience affects you, right?
Yes.
Sometimes you could tell them to go.
Is this a seamless link?
Why?
No, I was going to say, what happens if you turn up and, you know, perhaps they're not good enough. I'm sure they're of a standard. But if you're really struggling with a loud drummer or a pianist that actually doesn't like singers, I mean, How do you know, and how do you deal with a night where it's not working for you? I mean, do you switch on to autopilot? Do you try and find something in it that you can, you know, make something of? Tell us.
Well, there was only one club that affected me that way. It was some place in outer L.A. where I said, oh, go to hell. And I threw the microphone at something and just walked out of the place. Quickly, because he would have asked me to pay for it, you know.
So, most of the time.
Is it true that it,
when most of the time, because I improvised and could usually deal with most situations, and yeah, it's situation city, you know. What do I do with this? Blah, 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 you know, so, well, you have to learn to be flexible.
Sitting next to Pete, Ian Shaw, award-winning vocalist, partner in crime to many of us here.
When I came to London as a student, I was lucky enough to hear Ella and Sarah and lots of instrumentalists that I loved. And for the first time ever, I understood the story of Angel Eyes when you sang it. And how much of yourself, your own sorrows, your own joys, do you put in a song when you're on the stage sharing the music with the audience and with the band?
All my life, I could see into the song in my head. I just always could. But then as you get older, you start putting your life into the song. You know, that's one thing that Shirley did so well, and she would say so too. I think you can't help but do that. I think Maria Callas did that when she sang opera. She put her life in that thing. You know, I'm sure she saw it happen as she sang it.
One of the students going to ask you, one of the students who studies here is going to ask you a question.
When I listen to you, it touches me spiritually and emotionally. And I wondered, when you sing and when you perform, what kind of resource do you have to go to within yourself to find the truth and to find all these ways of jumping up and down so naturally? Is there any faith or religion or spirituality behind what you do?
Well, I pick songs that I have a rapport with. There's something in the lyric, or sometimes there's all. Say the melody is more important, but I have to pick something like that that I can really dig into. It's very difficult to teach, and so much of it has to do with how you breathe.
Mark, would you mind giving us just one more song with George? I know you want to save your voice for. I think we'd love one more, wouldn't we? One more
song.
One more.
I have a couple songs. What's that? If I only had words, I could say all the beautiful things that I see when you're with me. You see that I close my eyes. You don't know what I'm thinking about. See, do you? But it comes out. Oh, what's the next word? I'd be running and searching for you, but you always run away from me. Wonder where you're gone, but You're not there to stay with me. I'd let you go away if you'd take me with you. I'd be running in circles like you, like that river that can't find the sea. That would be me without you, Jean.
Mark Murphy with George Mesterházy at the piano performing Jobim Jinji. And that conversation was recorded at the Morley College in London at the end of January. And I'd like to thank the Morley College and Jill Manley, who organised the whole event, for allowing us to record that question and answer session with jazz legend Mark Murphy. This is Claire Martin presenting Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3, online, on FM and on digital radio. And remember, you can hear that long interview with Mark Murphy again for the next 7 days via the BBC Radio 3 website. Remember, there's lots more jazz on BBC Radio throughout the week. This week, Jamie Cullum on BBC Radio 2 at 7pm has American-born jazz pianist Tigran Hamaseyan in an exclusive session from our Maida Vale studios. And jazz continues on BBC Radio Scotland on Wednesday and Sunday nights at 8pm. Pianist John Taylor has hailed the recording of Bruno Heinen's Dialogues trio with Julian Siegel called Twinkle Twinkle as an excellent achievement. This debut for the London-based classically trained pianist is inspired by Lewis Carroll's Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and has been described as a chamber jazz project. The Dialogues trio are bassist Andrea De Bies, drummer John Scott, Bruno Heinen on piano, and special guest Julian Siegel on saxophone. Here's his composition, which is the opening track, Waltz for Rossi. From the CD Twinkle Twinkle, that was Waltz for Rossi, played by Bruno Heinlein's Dialogue Trio, with special guest Julian Siegel on saxophone. And that debut album is out now on the Babel label. Scottish saxophonist Martin Kershaw returned to Edinburgh in 1999 after 2 years as a scholarship student at Berklee College of Music in Boston. Since then, he's established himself as an in-demand and critically acclaimed musician, working with the likes of Tommy Smith, Carol Kidd, Brian Kellogg and Nigel Clark, to name but a few. He's just released a new album entitled The Howness, a collection of all original compositions by Kershaw, and played by an all-star Scottish lineup of pianist Paul Harrison, Ewan Burton on bass and Doug Huff on drums. Here's my favourite track, which really features all the band in full flow, and it draws its inspiration from a particularly unpleasant character from Mervyn Peake's Gormenghast trilogy. This is Steerpike.
We'll be right back.
Martin Kershaw's Steerpike from his latest CD called The Howness, which is available now on the EJF record label. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3. Let's hear a track now from the new album Hush by Nicky Iles. This is Meditations. from her new album Hush. That was Nikki Iles and the track Meditations, and we've managed to track her down on the phone for a few words now. Hello, Nikki.
Hello, Claire.
I couldn't believe this was your first time in New York.
Oh, it's a bit embarrassing, actually. It's when you need a holiday, sometimes somewhere like that isn't the place, but I've been meaning to go for years, so it's a great opportunity.
Fantastic. So tell us about the band.
Well, it's Rufus Reed on bass and Jeff Williams on drums, and I met Rufus when he was over, first off actually with the London Jazz Orchestra, and then we were both in at a group called Renga, which is part of the London Philharmonic Orchestra, mm-hmm. Both with our own music, and I met him there and got on very well, and he said, if you ever want to do something, and I thought he was joking. Anyway, about a year later, I emailed him and thought it'd be a lovely chance to go and do the 10-year follow-up.
Yeah, do you remember me?
And Jeff, I'd been working with Martin Speak, and I loved his playing. And obviously, they, funnily enough, they both played with people like Stan Getz and Tom Harrell, yeah, Joe Lovato, wow. But never met. So
oh.
Yeah.
So you brought them together as well. So it was a real meeting of for the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Where was the studio in New York? Which one?
It was in Teaneck, which is Dave Bennett, who's Tony Bennett's son, runs a lovely studio there, quite near to Rufus, and Rufus does quite a lot of his albums there. So he suggested that place.
Fabulous. Yeah. So did you get a lot of time to rehearse? Or, I mean, three of the tunes are originally, they're your originals. But was it really sort of improvised a couple of days, or did you have a chance to rehearse?
We had a quick rehearsal the day before the day in the studio. But a couple of the tunes, like Meditations and a couple of the standards, In Your Own Sweet Way, we just played a little rehearsal.
And tell us about the other tracks. I mean, you've got three of yours, but The Glide, I really enjoyed that, the Ralph Towner track. You've also got You Must Believe in Spring, Michel Legrand. What else? Oh, Kenny Wheeler, tell us about that track.
Well, everybody's song got my own. It's one of those tunes that's now a modern standard, I suppose. And I've played it for loads of years and grown up listening to Kenny's music. And, you know, I love playing standards, but I also like playing people like Julian Arguelles' music, you know, which is great music. So it's the kind of music I love, you know, the broad sections. But with tunes like Nardis, and I did try and, I suppose, put my own stamp on it, you know, a few reharms and, you know, twists and turns. And some of the tunes, like, I have played You Must Believe in Spring for years, but I quite like that thing of getting deeper into a tune over the years and new tunes, but tunes you love to play and finding more in them. And
it just makes them stand out more as great pieces of art, don't they? I mean, songs.
Absolutely.
Well, tell us what you're going to do about touring this then. Are you going over to New York, or are you bringing the boys over here?
Well, we did try. Rufus is over sometimes in Italy in the summer, so we're going to try and tie that in, because the bass cost about $800 just to put
just
it on the plane, so and he wants to bring his own bass, obviously. So I'm working on it. So I'm really hoping, and they're all up for it. So
brilliant.
Yeah.
But so far, Nikki, you must be thrilled with the critics' reaction to the album. Perhaps you'll choose a track to play us out on today.
Well, maybe the title track, Hush.
Okay. Good luck, Nikki. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Claire.
The title track, Hush, from the new Nicky Isles CD, out on the Basho record label, with Rufus Reed on the bass and Jeff Williams playing drums. Well, that's it for this week. Join me next week for a concert from the Jim Mullen Reunion Band, recorded at the Southport Winters Weekend Jazz Festival. And on Jazz on 3 tomorrow, Jez Nelson presents music from the 2011 Solferden Festival in Austria. But until next week, from me, Claire Martin, bye-bye.